I'm going to try to serenade you with or remind you of how we met. So at that time, 2013 December, I had just moved into a Waldorfing estate, and then I'm like, okay, well, this guy lives, opposite of my flat at the time. I'm like, oh, who's this chap? Who's this fine? Who's this dude? And then at the time, I was hoping that he was single, so we'd be rocking around town a little bit. And it's like, oh,
Yeah, you
sorry,
know
I already have a son or something like that. I'm like, okay. But of course, again, I remember that some Thursdays we'd go, we hang out at Ziggy's bar. We would hang out at a couple of bars around and we would just kind of have fun. And you were like a sugar that had a lot of hands surrounding. You were like the center of attraction. You had I don't want to mention too many names right now, but you had a lot of people that used to flock around. Your house was like a mecca of some sort. People coming around to just relax, feel comfortable and stuff like that. Have you ever felt that people are taking your niceness for granted? Let's start from there.
Debo, well, we're humans. Yes, I think so, but just like every other person, we're humans and I've taken people's kindness as well for granted. I mean, we're
Okay,
humans, we do it.
that's a clever
Yes,
way
so
to
yes,
answer
to answer
it.
your so to answer your question directly, yes, a few people, even those that are really close to me, have taken my, I wouldn't say nicest, I've taken who I am, for granted. We take people for granted, but I know they don't mean it. Not all of them actually meant anything bad. They probably just assume that it's him, he's gonna do it anyway. So yeah.
Interesting. So, but what do you think is has contributed to you being, a little bit that for someone who would pass for a friendly and nice person? Would it be your background? Would it be your how you grew up? I know your family to a little extent. I know your brother, Dr. Keshu. Again, it will lead me to a follow-up question I would ask. How was growing up like for you? I know you're the last of, I think, five or six of six children. How was growing up like for you? And you being the last born child, did it have any psychological effect on you? Did you feel intimidated by your elder siblings at any point? And how did it propel you to be the man that you are today?
Like you said it, I'm past the family of six. I've got five elder ones, and the closest one to me is almost, she's about 6.5 years older than me. So I'm a real egg-bones,
Of course.
but yeah, I think to answer the first question about did my background also contribute to how I behave? Yes, to a very large extent. I've been fortunate to come from a family of very nice people. I've been my father, my late dad, God bless his soul, was extremely nice. Yeah, it could be strict, but it was a very nice man. And my mom, oh,
Super nice.
she's one in a million. Yeah. So I think we all got it from them, from my mom, from my dad. They were both fantastic. They've been fantastic people. And yeah, so me being the last as well, so I had a lot of example. I remember growing up, then my mom used to tell me, "Sure, around when can't you see your elder ones? You know that you should learn from them, learn from their mistakes, learn from the things they've done right." So I think that also helped me. Yeah. So and my siblings, they've been awesome. They are lovely people. We're quite accommodating. My brother's accommodating.
I
Yeah.
can attest
So
to that. I know one of your brothers on the personal note. I know
yeah.
he's a nice guy. Like, just a nice guy.
Exactly. So I look up to them and they've been able to shape my, who I've become today. Yeah. So my background has actually helped me in defining the person that I am.
Yeah. Awesome. And you had a brief stint, or sorry, not a brief stint. You worked as a career person with, was it Standard Chartered Bank or Stanbic IBTC?
Yeah, I heard you say Standard Chartered. Everybody always mix it up, but it's fine. Even the Standard Chartered people and the Stanbic people understand. We don't get upset.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I work with a company called Stanbic IBTC, which is a subsidiary of Standard Bank Group. Standard Bank Group is a South African-owned company. Arguably, I think second or the number one in terms of size, biggest bank in South Africa. Yeah. So it's an end-to-end financial institution. Yeah. So I work for a subsidiary in Nigeria, Stanbic IBTC. Yeah, so that's the company that I work
That you work
for
for.
about.
Yeah, and then you work there as like a pensions manager and all of that stuff.
Yeah, that was part of my life in Stanbic.
In
Yeah.
Stanbic at the time.
So I grew through the ranks. I did a couple of things. I think I started as a sales guy in one of the subsidiaries as well, in the asset management part of the company.
Interesting.
Yeah, we're always selling investment products, you know.
Investment.
Yeah, so from there I went to pension. I
Okay.
was in supply chain, then went back to asset management, worked in customer service, client services as we called it then.
Okay.
Then I moved back to pension, where I worked in the business development, basically sales and relationship management. That's what I did till I left. Of course, I got promoted along the way. I became a regional manager where I had people that were working with me.
Are
So,
working with you.
yeah. So that's where I worked for all my 14 and a half years. Yeah.
Oh, incredible.
Before
Nice.
the jackpot.
Before the jackpot trend. So before we get to the jackpot trend, I just wanted to
Yeah.
just kind of tickle back a little bit. Now, obviously, you worked 14 years with a prominent organization as big as Stanbic. What was the biggest challenge you had to grow your career from the sales guy to becoming a regional manager? What was the biggest challenge, one? And then secondly, what would you consider like your lowest point at the time?
Wow.
I can relate with your experience being a salesperson. I myself have done sales business development for a couple of years. So I just wanted to kind of find out how that happened. Yeah. Or what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, great question, Debo. Yeah, so let me even tell you an interesting story.
Okay.
When I joined Stanbic IBTC then, my intention was not to be a salesperson. I've never seen myself as a salesperson. I'm like,
Interesting.
how will I say it? What do I know? In Nigeria, be more, you know. How will I be able to tell people, you know, have I convinced myself before I went to that course?
The
Yeah, but I was fortunate to work with some very fantastic people when I joined, because the asset management part, the sales team at that time was just being built. So it was a good opportunity for me to grow. Yeah, so the team was just being created. So we made a lot, we grew with it. We made a lot of
I
mistakes, and
see.
at
So
the
you guys
same
were like
time,
the pioneers of the department,
exactly,
right?
that's the word, we pioneered. Yeah, so we're able to learn. So that helped me a lot to learn a couple of things. So when other people too started joining, you know, I was able to, you know, teach them and all of that. So it made me grow. And I think what also worked for me as what was my personality as well.
Course. So you've got a people
Because
person here.
yeah, I'm a happy-go-lucky person. Let's have fun,
100%.
let's enjoy life. Not that I don't get serious, of course. Serious things demand
Of course, the
seriousness,
rise to the role of
but
regional business manager definitely
you
wears
know, you
fierce
know.
on
Yeah,
character.
so I sort of enjoy what I do. Yeah, I was watch fortunate also. If you notice, I've been mentioning fortunate a lot, because most of it were not things that I planned. They were things that just happened, and fortunately, yeah, people were there to support me. Yeah, so I was able to grow through the ranks because a lot of people believed in me, even when I didn't believe in myself. I
Yourself.
had colleagues, I had senior colleagues that just feel, this guy, you're good at this thing, and I think you can do it, you know. And that's how I just grew. And of course, support from friends and family as well. So that's with regards to how I grew through the ranks. And in terms of my lowest point, I've had a couple of low points in my life, especially in my career as well. And yeah, like I mentioned, when I joined sales, it was tough for me because I just felt I can't sell things to people. I
And you're not
just
serving
don't.
services for that matter, not even
Services,
actual
you know,
food. I completely understand.
exactly. Serious, you know, serious matter. It was you not just selling you know, pencil or selling something. I'm selling investment products. So it needed me to understand what I was selling
Of
to be
course.
able to convince someone that
It's a path
me
of
and my
doom.
company, will be able to invest your money and make money for you. And remember, this was a period when the stock market was doing
Was
very
crashing,
badly.
was
There
doing
was a
crashing.
global recession at that time, you know. So it was tough, but at the same time, it also helped me to grow. So that period, it was a bit tough for me. At some point, I felt I couldn't do this. There was a point in my life at that time that I felt, you know what, I just need to quit. I wanted to leave, but for some reason, and that's why I'll always be forever grateful to that company. for some reason, everybody just believed in me. Like, dude, you can do this thing.
You I'm can
like,
make this happen.
What are these people saying in me? I said I can't do it. Is it by force?
Well, you guys are like,
yeah. So they gave me the opportunity to grow. They enabled me to go to another department at that time to be able to code my skills and all of that. And I came back to doing sales and selling that thing. So
that's
yeah, so that was part of my low points in terms of my career. And yeah.
Incredible. I'm sure we've all had low points, and I think when you know everyone can relate to what you've said. But before I move to one of the questions that you know we want to talk about today, how do you grow competence as a as a career path or even as a person? Like you said, you had a down point. Of course, people believed in you, but it definitely took you some time to work on yourself to grow your competence again, and then grow your confidence, and then feel very comfortable to ace your numbers, meet your targets, and surpass them. How would you tell your late 20s person or someone who is who's been their late 20s trying to pick up a career that you are currently in to say, these are the things you need to do to grow your competence around your skill sets, around your career, and all of that stuff?
There are a couple of things, you know, I think people can pick up. It's apart from having the right people around you, because it really matters. You can argue, because you could argue again and say, what if there are no right people around? Can you find them? You know, you just have to look for people to encourage you. Yes, you need to have people that will challenge you as well, but you need a lot of encouragement. You need people that can see beyond what you're seeing and say, they can do this thing.
You can do this stuff.
That really helps, yes. And also another thing is to try as much as possible to just believe in yourself. And there's nothing like everybody, I believe, and I've read, you know, about a couple of successful people. They've also had some time in their career that they just feel, what I'm doing does not make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, is it Steve Jobs? Is it name them? They've all been through this.
All been there, yeah.
So I think what has worked for me also is just focusing on those people telling you the right stuff, telling you can do this, and not just telling you, showing you the way, presenting opportunities.
Or like having mentors. Having mentors, but having people.
I just didn't want to use that word mentor, because the word mentor nowadays has been. People have overused it, and sometimes it doesn't mean what it's meant to mean. But I think that's what I'm trying to say. To have a mentor, and it doesn't have to be just one mentor. You can have a mentor for a particular thing. You can have a mentor for, how do I sell this thing? Or have a mentor for how to just live a happy life.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, because you need to be happy to be able to do a lot of things. If you are not happy, everything will just look like a chore to you. Like, why am I doing this thing? Yeah. So I think that's what has worked for me. I still have challenges as well. I still, till now, there are still doubts in me sometimes to say, can I do this thing? Can I do that? But I think that comes with every human being.
Of course, it does come with everybody. Yeah. We all have our doubts. So, we all have our insecurities sometimes, but you know, we have to work on them. We have to move, keep moving to make these things happen. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you for the summary. Now, you had a thriving career in Nigeria. You were doing pretty well. You rose through the ranks. You walked your, I don't want to say butts off, but you walked out to get to that position, and spent 14 years, and then one day, half of it, you just slept and woke up, and then you decided that, man, I can't do this anymore. You're not carrying. After being able, I know where you lived, you know, in Lagos, and the apartment was really nice. You furnished it to taste, even the outside environment, and everything was really nice. And then you slept one night, and you just packed your bags. Probably now went with two hand luggages and two suitcases, and abandoned everything you've known for maybe about 40 years, and then proceeded to another man's land to go and start life all over again. That's what you guys call Jaguar, right?
Look who's talking.
What necessitated or what influenced that decision to you know, abandon everything you've always known and just pick 23 kilogram baggages and and move to another person's country and start on a reset? That's question one. And then question two be, and on a more serious note, how has the journey been for you in the last couple of years? I think we moved out of the country pretty much around the same time. I'd like to know, what's the journey been like? Any regrets? And yeah, we'll just take it from there.
Yeah, great question, Debo. I was laughing because the way you were asking that question, I was just like, is it that me and this guy were not in the same?
Are we on the same? Are we in the same party?
Yeah, but whilst it's also fun, it's actually a very serious matter. So yeah, like you know very well, I lived in particularly lived in the same house for about 35 years of my life. I'm in my early 40s now.
Yeah.
I left when I was just about 40. A few weeks to me being 40 was when I left my family. And that in itself was a huge challenge to me. And the decision was not a one-day decision, obviously, just like most people that relocated. And by the way, I don't like using that word, Japan. I don't know why. For some reason, I hardly use it.
I agree with you. It's just because of the trendy
Yeah, because Japan sounds like I ran away.
Exactly. I don't think I did.
I didn't Japan. I relocated.
All right. Let's bring it on. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was quite tough because not just that I was leaving my comfort zone, I was leaving somewhere that I've been used to, somewhere that I've seen people come and go, somewhere that has made my childhood. I've, you know, somewhere that I got married, I saw my partner, I mean my wife, and I got married to her, and we had kids in that same particular neighborhood. Now I just want to leave. And it wasn't a day decision. It was something that we've been talking about, you know, and basically it's about trying to get a better life. Could we have gotten a better life in Nigeria? Absolutely, yes. We could have stayed and things will still get better. But I think because we feel we've conquered that terrain, we've lived there, we've achieved all we need to achieve, and perhaps we just need to change location and see how it's going to be.
Which is not a
bad. So relocating for us wasn't that we were running away. Yeah, there's a lot of challenges back home and all of that. But it's just that we're seeing, trying to get, you know, something better to see, perhaps if you relocate. And nobody has the full answer. It doesn't mean that we'll be located, that everything is perfect now. We're still learning. And I know we're going to get to that question of how life has been since we relocated. So to answer your question about was because we wanted a better life. We wanted to see life from where we've seen it. And we wanted to see if, you know, it was going to be better than where we've been. So that basically, you know, is my answer for why we relocated.
100% valid.
Yeah.
Same reasons for most people that I know, and for probably the speaker speaking here as well, would be some of the reasons that you said that influenced the decision to move. It's always about, okay, let's try to see something else and all of that stuff. However, I think the journey does come with its pros and cons. What has been your experience? Let's talk about the cons first, or the pros first, whatever you like. What has been your experience in a nutshell?
Yeah, so my there are a lot of pros and cons in our relocation journey. Is it always good to start with the okay? I'll start with the cons so that end it
on the bright side.
The cons, yeah, the con is quite obvious. You know, you are going to another man's land. You know, just like you mentioned it.
Yeah,
you are leaving your comfort zone. So 100%. No matter how you prepare, you can't expect what you finally see is never what you have expected. There's always something like, oh wow, that's what they do for a year, you
Can
know,
we
that kind of
can
thing.
you give a specific example around that? Just a little bit of an idea.
There's a lot now. There's a lot. You know how we do things back home in Nigeria. Not that we do things anyhow, but you know, you can always get away with so many things back home. It's
Yeah,
because
opportunities, of course.
no, be police. Yeah, I'll just talk to the police. You know, settle the matter. You know, once I call one or two people, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
But here, you know, things are done. It's not that they don't have their issues here as well, but here, you know the repercussion for what you are. So anything
End
you are
of
doing,
story.
just know that there's a repercussion for it. If
Of
you
course.
do the wrong stuff, yeah, they may not catch you, but the day they finally catch you, there's no abex, there's no,
Nothing
it's
like
a
that.
mistake. It's my first time.
You would
The
definitely
assumption is that you've
raise the
been doing
consequences.
it and been getting away with it. So that one time you will be sanctioned appropriately, like you've been committing the crime. So that was a huge shock. Not that I'm a person of crime or that I'm always committing crime. It's just that some things that no,
Very
needed
good
to take
caveat.
place before
Let's
that
switch
happened.
that up.
Yes. Yeah, but it's just that, you know, because back home, we know that when we do some things, we can easily get away with it. So we may be a bit careless back home.
For
But
example,
here,
go to a friend's place, they offer you alcohol, you drink,
you just drink and you drive.
and then you drive. And then you drive with
Drive, yeah.
confidence. Ah, I would get more money.
Yes.
Feeling on, I would
Yes,
get.
no.
But,
Yes,
you know, in this side of the world.
yeah. And that's a perfect example,
Yeah.
you know. And when I first go here, and I wasn't driving, and I think I went out with one of my friends here who's been staying here for a while, and we went to a party. I just noticed that he wasn't drinking. And this is someone I know, is a shayo master. And I'm like,
Down
yeah, let's drink. They just said, no, that I should drink, that me, I should continue, and all of that. And when we're going, I was asking him that, dude, why is this? I can't drink. And I said, but you're always in control. Even when you drink, you know what you do. He said, yes, but that's not the case. If you're stopped by the police will say that you
Of
are
course,
driving
yeah,
well.
come
They
through.
just say they've tested you and there's
And
alcohol
then,
in your system. And you start explaining. You can't even explain. Once they've found the alcohol in your system, you know, points will be deducted from your license and all of that. So that made me have a rethink, like, oh, wow. Now, so now they do for a year. So, okay, no problem. We just need to be a bit more careful.
Of course.
So that in itself was part of the shock. And of course, the weather. The UK
Story of
weather. I remember growing up then, because my folks actually had lived in the UK for a while when they were much younger.
Interesting.
Yeah, so before they came back to Nigeria. So when they're telling us some things, my mom used to tell us that time and say, if they curse you and say your life is going to be like the British weather, that is a big curse. It just means that
Your
your
life
life
is
will never be stable.
unstable because there's nothing
Exactly.
as unstable as the British weather, for sure.
You know, yeah. Because in the UK, you could wake up, it's summer.
And then
next minute it's
it's
raining.
spring.
Next second, you might even see
It's
snow. I'm like,
fall.
what's
And then
going
it's
on here?
winter.
Yeah. So that really, really was a shock to me. And I'm not someone that really likes the cold weather. And that is why I never considered Canada, because Canada is very cold.
True story.
Yes.
I mean,
Yeah.
you guys, I mean, in the UK, you guys degrees. I have a friend, I have a friend, still a friend. He moved in, you know, about the time that we all moved out, and then he moved to the UK, and then 2 degrees, he would beat up on his status, like, ah, it's supposed to be. And I'm like, what's Gilon Sheni? Come here, come and see minus 20 somewhere. Are you playing? As in, no, don't play. Minus 15, minus 10 is like on a daily during winter, like steady. So like, what's 2 and 3? Why are you making noise? Like, I have a lot of when they just get there, they always, I'm like, you guys pop the brakes a little.
So that's part of it. And I wouldn't say disadvantage, another downside or shock was, of course, the job hunting. Job hunting was also
That
a
one,
challenge.
for sure.
Not
Right,
yeah, not that you know that I'm where I want to be, but at least I got something going on.
Yeah,
because it was really challenging at that time. I came here to study, and the hope was, once I finish my MBA, you know, just present this to them with my 15-year career, come on, we'll accept me. But of course, it wasn't that. I have an email box dedicated for unfortunately, when I apply, you know. Yeah,
Interesting.
so that was a big shock to us, like, what's going on? Despite my experience, despite all that I've done, how come I can't get a good job here and all of that? You know, that was a huge shock. But of course, the more we stayed here, the more we applied, we realized, you know, the technicalities of what the exactly what the employers here are looking for. You know, we realized that we've got those things. It's just maybe the way we've been presenting it has not been showing that we've got those things. So, of course, we needed to repackage our CVs. We needed to repackage how we speak, how we say things. Some terms we use, we needed to stop using it. Basically, we needed to unlearn the things that we think we knew.
Yeah, things were that were working.
Yeah, so that also helped us. So at least gradually everything is getting better and we're getting used to the system. Yeah. So those are part of the well, I say negative so far, but I mean we're getting over those things. Then to the positives now. There's a lot of positives. The positives, number one. NEPA does not take light here. You know.
Stroke. Sliding tackle.
Right. You know now.
Sliding tackle.
which is perfect. You know, back home, yes. Even if you pay your bills and everything,
doesn't
even
matter.
When you have prepaid meter in Nigeria,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't assure you that it'll be
matter.
Light, you know?
Like, there might not
but
be light.
Here,
yes, even.
Exactly. Things work. Things work to a very large extent.
System works.
Yeah, great. And then when things don't work, you have a reason for it not to work. People will tell you why it's not working. Unlike in Nigeria, that everybody just keep knowing. People are accountable here.
100%.
So that's a positive.
If I can just chip in, one day, when it first came in, I just huge vibration on my phone. And as I was hearing it on my phone, my wife was hearing it on her phone, and the other phone that was in the house, like I was wondering what's happening. And then I checked. It was an emergency. Someone was just kidnapped, or someone was being reported missing and all of that stuff. And I'm like, to your point, that's what they do for you. Like, really, and everybody in the province got the same text message. I was blown away. So, to your point, that works.
So that's part of it. You know, a lot of things work here, and people are accountable. Accountability is a huge difference between our society back home and here. And that accountability has helped a lot of things to be. It's not that things don't go wrong here.
Of course, they
things
do.
Things go wrong here a lot. In fact, I didn't know that a lot of things go wrong here. But it goes wrong, and people will explain to you why it went wrong. We'll apologize. We'll do what it needed. But back home, things go wrong, and people will still be telling you, and so, or they don't even talk.
They don't even care.
That's the difference. Yeah.
It's a crazy.
Politicians here. Not all of them are not. We've got fraudulent politicians here as well.
Of course.
But people will call their bluff and they will explain.
Yes.
It's not back home like people, you know, get into office and
do whatever they like and show
well.
It's a different ballgame. We could
people
spend
in politics, they don't show
several
wealth.
Minutes talking about this specific issue already, but we don't have so much time. So I want to talk a little bit. And I know that you're definitely a career MC. You switched up. You decided to take a gig as an MC. What influenced you to do that? Just in a few minutes, and then ask you one or two more questions, and then we'll call it a wrap.
All right. So what influenced me again? I'll go back to the organization I work for, Stanbic IBTC. I had fantastic colleagues that just believed in me. They feel my personality. I should be able to do this thing. So from there, I was given events in the company to handle. And after that, people realized that you can do this thing.
Wow.
And that's how it started.
That's
people
interesting.
People started inviting me for their weddings. Yeah. And till I left, I was the major. I was always the one doing most of the corporate events that we had in the company at that time.
That's impressive.
So that also helped me.
Yeah. How are you?
And I enjoy it.
How are you able to grow your skills as an MC? I mean, talking about somebody who might be listening who wants to grow your skills, how are you able to grow your skills over time? I think you've been doing that I know of at least for 5 or 6 years, if not even more. That you probably started doing it outside office, like you started making money out of it. What influenced, how did you grow your skills around it?
Okay, so basically it's about believing in yourself, you know, believe in yourself, and once you keep doing it, and I'll tell you this for free. Every event that I anchor, I still have cold feet. I still feel guilty. So, and it's normal. You know, can I do this thing? Can I do this thing? Yeah, but the more you do it, the more you'll be
you
able to
grow.
address those challenges. Yes. And because I enjoy it, that's also a major difference.
Yeah.
Some people may go into it and not enjoy it, so they will see it as a job. I enjoy it. I've done events that I didn't collect a dime just because I enjoy it.
Interesting.
You know, yeah. So I think that is also major.
It's
Enjoy it and ensure that you also look at people that have done it. Watch videos. There are videos there. Watch videos of people. And it's not compulsory that you have to be funny. Being an MC doesn't mean you're a comedian.
Moderation,
yeah, there's a difference between being
a thin line. Yeah, that's
absolutely
interesting. That's interesting. Great stuff from Olakwi. We have a few more minutes, so I'd ask you one.
Okay,
you were the anchor of Amuwo. Were you the major anchor, or you were one of the organizers of Amuwo Games? What has been the situation of? I mean, what has been happening to Amuro Games since you left? Is this still something that is happening, or it's something that is kind of dipped?
Yeah, absolutely. So Amuro Games is the brainwork of a good friend of mine, a brother of mine called Shewa Yeni. And the first edition was something that we did together. He thought about it and he brought it to me to say, Bros, I know you can, you know, this is what I have in mind. Of course, then I added a few things to it, and because he's a hard worker and he's a very intelligent guy. And of course, we started like it was a joke, and it blew to become something that was so big that even the Lagos State Sports Commission had to come in and say, wow, you guys are doing a lovely thing. So it was his brainwork, but of course, we did it collaboratively, and till now, it's ongoing.
Oh,
even
wow.
Since I left, they've had two events. After I left, they've had Amuwo Games and the Battle of the Sound. So those are the two things that we do. Amuwo Games and
Amuwo
Battle of the
Game,
Sound.
Battle of Sound.
Yeah.
Battle of Sound sounds to me like a music kind of competition, right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
Yeah. So
great.
We discover talents, and we've had a couple of talents that have come through that. Some have traveled abroad, some are doing their things now. And that's actually the essence of that, to ensure that we make use of this energy that all these youths in the neighborhood have, and it's been a huge success.
And it's very important to, you know, channel the energies of the youth into something very productive. I know that
absolutely
a lot of youths these days are, you know, they indulge in a lot of vices, you know, a lot of youths do drugs, a lot of youths a lot of stuff, right? So having an avenue for people to come and showcase their talents, come and showcase their skills is definitely welcome anytime, any day. So just to keep people out of the streets, or keep people idle, as they say.
Yes, absolutely.
Devils, how do they say that stuff again? An idle mind is the
I do mind, it's a devil's workshop.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
absolutely.
Incredible.
Yeah,
Incredible.
that was the reason we did it.
Incredible stuff. Any last parting gifts from you?
Is to just commend you for this stuff you've started. I see
Thank
this
you.
thing going a very long way. Well
Thank
done.
you.
Because
Thank
we
you.
need it. I've thought of something like this as well,
Thank
but
you.
I'm happy that you started it.
Thank you.
And I'll continue to collaborate in any way
Thank
I
you.
can. I'll
Thank
push
you.
it as well. Yeah, we need it. There's
Thank
a lot
you.
of people in the diaspora that need to hear from fellow people that have left as well, and also to
Exactly.
keep in touch with what's happening at home. Yeah, so
Exactly.
this is fantastic. Well
Exactly.
done.
Thank you very much, Kunle, for
Yeah.
supporting this program. You're
Yeah.
technically the second person that I'm having a recording with. I'm going to jump
Great.
on in a couple of minutes, but that's how we keep growing.
Okay.
Take a couple of minutes. I mean,
Yeah.
few times for me to start putting up the videos out there, but thank you for supporting the program. I really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right, Debo.
My warm
Thanks.
regards to your wife and
Everyone.
kids
Yeah.
and everyone. Yeah. Okay. Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Regards to yours too.
As well.
Thanks.
Thank you so
All
much.
right. Like you
Cheers.
say here, thank you, mate.
Exactly. Thank you, mate. And yeah, we say
Thank you,
thank you,
mate.
buddy. Cheers,
Oh,
buddy.
thank you, buddy. All
Cheers, buddy.
right. Cheers.
Bye bye now. Bye bye. That's the end of the show with Olakunle Keshiro. An interesting guy, very fantastic guy, someone who's a real dude, you know, who's super real, very amiable, very humble. And that's how we wrap the session today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Cheers and bye for now. Wait for the next episode. It's gonna be beautiful. Cheers and bye for now.